At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scala.com. This is the Scala Report. Scala, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. It is the global technology and global communication system we start with because the news is the inflation that is said to be temporary here in the United States is exporting inflation. So much so that certain central banks in countries that are not as strong as the U.S. are obliged, even though the COVID-19 curse is still upon them, to raise rates. This most recently from the Wall Street Journal. Global inflation making central banks in Russia, Brazil, and Turkey raise rates. However, we connect this to a picture off Long Beach, California of a line of container ships stacked up end-to-end, waiting to land their goods in America, and we connect this to the supply chain. I note that the shippers in the Pacific are claiming, what can we do? We have to pass along our prices. The prices are spectacular. Chris, a very good evening to you. You've been very carefully explicating this story at least 2 months because you observed at one point flying over Long Beach to see the containers back in March. Well, they're still lined up. Your business also is very cautious about shipping rates, as is everyone's. It's not only that you pay more, it's that you can't get the goods you want. Now, the idea of temporary inflation, does that mean that when we fill our inventory shelves again, the inflation will go away? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. What you're seeing now across many, many industries is that inflation, because on a global basis, if you're buying product from China, everything is priced in dollars. Because you have this rapid inflation in the U.S. that seems to be creeping up bigger and bigger every day, that's now translating into that supply chain. And you're seeing inflation, huge spikes in some areas. An example, ocean shipping now in containers from China to the U.S., if it can be booked, is running 6 to 7 times the rate that it was 5 months or 6 months ago. So you're seeing these absolutely explosive cost increases in many sectors, materials up 15-20%, but things like shipping up hundreds of percentage points is going to translate back to the consumer. And that appears now to starting to cool consumer sentiment towards durable goods such as cars and housing that could translate into stagflation.
Yes, there are anecdotes here, but I want to read from, this is FreightWares, which is a professional service you can sign up for and read how the shipping story is global. Brokers booking freight on behalf of their customers say they have no choice but to pass through charges assessed by ocean carriers, charges that some shippers claim are unjustified. That was one of the main takeaways from the only 3 public comments filed in response to an advance notice of proposed rulemaking issued by the Federal Maritime Commission earlier this spring. What we're looking at here, Chris, is everybody pointing to the next guy in the chain. The end result is the inventory shelves for odd items are empty. I'm told by one of my regular correspondents that on Nantucket Island, an extremely comfortable place for people who are well-to-do to summer, Nantucket Island, there are no bicycles for sale. Not only that, it is very difficult to get a used bicycle because in the event of something going wrong on a used bicycle, there are no parts for sale. Is that driving inflation that the shelves are empty, or is this coming from China, from the producer of those goods? Can we tell, Chris?
This is principally coming from China in that as you have in the last 2 quarters, tremendous spikes in raw material costs, more because of speculation than anything else, you've seen costs rise and orders cool. Earlier this week, you had one of the Chinese state authorities for Chinese state-owned companies start to reserve strategic metals, steel, copper, etc., from Chinese government storage to the manufacturing base in China because products were getting so overheated in cost, it was starting to have a negative economic impact. So that spiral of cost translating to lower orders, translating to inavailability of product, along with the shipping disruption, is signaling big problems economically.
Harvard Business Review. Global supply chains continue to show signs of strain. No kidding. Shortages of critical inputs like semiconductors are causing issues for everything from gaming systems to new cars. The ocean freight market remains stressed, with many firms experiencing record rates. We just explicated. Shortages on commodities, which is where you're pointing, Chris, including steel, microchips, oil, copper, and medicine, are increasing prices, disrupting supply distribution in North America, Europe, and the Asia-Pacific region. Again, is this temporary? Can we tell? What do your clients and your colleagues say, Chris? Is it going to go away once we get the supply chain straightened out and those ships off Long Beach are no longer lined up?
At this point, it continues at least through the end of the year and potentially into first quarter of next year. The raw materials pricing is starting to come down, wood, steel, copper, et cetera. But the semiconductor shortage is still in full burn. That semiconductor shortage translating to automobile shortages because you cannot get chips to finish cars or computers or others, that semiconductor shortage may go all the way through 2022 and have a very large economic impact.
What does this mean for the recovery? Can we translate that? Because right now the Federal Reserve is sort of changing its mind, sort of, saying we might have to maybe sort of raise rates at the end of 2023. Does this inflation, temporary inflation, does this supply chain disruption puzzle? We're not economists. We're simply observing the news, and you're participating in it because you have to pay or at least decline these higher prices. Does all this get solved if the Federal Reserve's moves more quickly on raising rates?
I don't know that the Federal Reserve raising rates will have a tremendous impact on what is now starting to be dubbed Bidenflation in some circles, because the Fed printed so much money in the economic bailout. So that excess liquidity has to find a good outcome. At the moment, it's still sloshing around. That's causing this inflation, that's causing the competition for resources, whether it be raw material, labor, transit, et cetera. Until that excess liquidity is removed from the system, the Fed signaling inflation, signaling interest rate increases probably won't have a big impact on that inflationary issue.
We spoke of China last week about this inflation, which is now a global concern. It's no longer local. It's not Nantucket. It's everywhere. China facing two choices when it experiences this inflation. It can eat the inflation, that is, take fewer profits from its manufacturing, or it can export it. Your observation is that China is exporting. Is that correct?
China is exporting, and in the last 10, 20 years, China has become the manufacturing center for the world by underpricing competitive markets, whether it be the U.S., Mexico, South Korea, Japan, et cetera. So they gained immense power in manufacturing by underbidding the rest of the world. The challenge is China as a country has amassed absolutely massive debts, in many cases similar to the U.S., in many cases even in excess, especially in the regional government level. Those debts have to be paid, and it's that debt risk or the debt bubble risk in China that is a strategic risk to their larger economy. If the external economies, because China is still principally an exporting country, if the external economies slow, China is in real trouble.
Final consideration, given that we're emerging from the pandemic in the U.S., we're going to be able to travel again. The restrictions for people incoming to the U.S. are being lifted gradually everywhere. But, Chris, you've sent me a graphic this week that I found compelling about what to do after the pandemic. Remember, three things happen after pandemics. One, there's an economic boom. We see it. Two, there's disorder. We've seen disorder in the summer of 2020 and continuing in our political life. But three, people are ready to take risks, life-changing risks. And Chris, that's how I explain this graphic you sent to me of the exporting states, the states that people are leaving and the states where they're going to. They're going to, no surprise, states that are friendly to taxpayers, Texas and Florida and North Carolina and Tennessee, Idaho and Arizona, going there quite happily. They're leaving states that are not friendly to taxpayers. Did you see anything in that chart that was unpredictable from your measure of B2B?
I think what I would say is unpredictable or concerning if you were in New York or California as a government official. That tax base is eroding. at warp speed. So what are you going to do from the governmental perspective to be competitive with the Florida and Texas environments? And this great migration that is occurring is very unidirectional from blue state to red state. The questions being, does that then make red states purple states or blue states in the future, number one? But number two, how does that impact the economies in these very large coastal states where best, brightest, and many companies are decamping? And what will that mean for the economics of those states in the future?
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.